The following program is a Nightingale Conant production for Simon & Schuster Audio.
By the time you complete this powerful program, you'll have mastered a whole new approach to thinking called mind mapping. Mind mapping is an amazing method for generating and organizing ideas using symbols, keywords, codes, and colors. More than just a new way to take notes, mind mapping is a method for liberating the phenomenal power of your mind. Based on a sophisticated understanding of the structure and function of the brain, mind mapping helps you get more work done in less time, improve your memory, set goals, plan projects, run meetings, and solve problems with ease. And perhaps the best thing about mind mapping is that it makes thinking, planning, and problem solving a lot more fun. I've watched people from every walk of life use this new way of thinking to dramatically improve the quality of their lives. The benefits you're going to realize from these tapes are delightfully summarized by an executive who attended one of my seminars. He wrote afterwards, "Thank you very much for finally waking up my brain." And that's exactly what mind mapping will do for you.
Mind mapping is the one simple tool that will most profoundly improve your intelligence. Michael Gelb has seen this fact proven true time and time again during his long collaboration with the originator of mind mapping, Tony Buzan. Michael has been instrumental in developing the state of the art in the teaching of mind mapping. For that reason, he is Tony Buzan's top choice for bringing this amazing technique to you. In fact, Tony is so excited about Michael and this program that he has recorded a special introduction. So here's Tony now to describe what Michael Gelb and the mind mapping program can do for you.
Greetings to you from the English countryside. When I created mind mapping in the 1960s, my dream at that time was to create a mentally literate planet to help people to discover the enormous treasure of their own intelligences. What I needed in order to accomplish that goal were people who were professionally, who were academically, and most importantly, who were personally qualified to learn, to practice, and then to impart the essence of these vital skills. In 1975, I had the privilege and indeed delightful pleasure of meeting Michael J. Gelb. At that stage, early in his career, he was already an established writer and was one of the world's leading authorities in psychophysical re-education. He had also already established himself as an original and an inspired thinker. Since that time, he has grown and become a staggeringly brilliant teacher. He has the gift of inspiring, of motivating, and indeed of transforming those who attend his lectures. The same, in fact, also applies to his writing, his many books, and as you will discover on this tape, it applies also to his ability to communicate on the audio media waves. One of the interesting things about ourselves at the moment is that we tend to think that our brains are worse than they really are. In fact, you're going to discover that your brain is better than you think, and no matter how smart you really think you are, you'll find out on this tape that you're even smarter than that amazing smart. And who better to lead you to discover this treasure of your intelligence than one of the world's leading geniuses, Michael J. Gelb? Michael is going to lead you on a journey through your vast potential. It is one of the most exciting, most exhilarating journeys you will ever go on, and you're about to start it. You're going to discover one of the most extraordinary things in the universe, and that extraordinary thing is you. And you're going to do it with one of the most wonderful, delightful guides you could ever want, Michael J. Gelb. Michael, it's over to you.
To get started, please take a few minutes to complete a thought generation and organization exercise. You'll need a piece of paper, a pen, and about 10 minutes of time. If you're driving, you can do the exercise in your mind's eye now, but be sure to put it in writing later. This exercise is based on a real-life challenge that many of my clients have faced. Ready? Here we go. Imagine you're the chairperson of a conference attended by 100 of your peers. Suddenly, you receive a message that your keynote speaker's flight has been delayed and he'll be unable to appear. There's only one solution. You will have to give the speech. You have just 10 minutes to generate and organize a half-hour speech before you deliver it. The group you'll be addressing is tired of work-related topics, so they've asked you to speak on any subject that interests you besides your work. You can talk about your favorite sport, hobby, or about current events, anything you like other than your work. And the group has also requested that you make your speech creative in some way. Remember, you've got 10 minutes. Good luck. Turn off the tape and complete this exercise now. Welcome back from your assignment. Did you find it easy, even fun, to generate and organize your thoughts into a creative half-hour speech? If you're like most of the students who've completed this exercise in my high-performance learning classes, your answer is a resounding no. Why not? Obviously, you must have some knowledge about the topic or you wouldn't have chosen it. So there was no shortage of facts to draw on. But perhaps you found it difficult to get started anyway. And maybe it was challenging to generate creative ideas and put them in a sensible order for the sake of communication. What are the thinking challenges in quickly and creatively organizing a speech about a topic of your own choosing? The solution lies in the method most people use to complete this exercise. They try to organize their ideas before they generate them by outlining or listing their thoughts as they were taught to do decades ago in grade school. The problem is that outlining hinders your brain's natural thinking process. It's like trying to drive your car with the emergency brake on. Consider what happens when you outline. You take out a nice lined sheet of paper and put down a big Roman numeral 1. Now, have you ever spent an inordinate amount of time staring at a blank page, waiting for idea Roman numeral 1? As ideas arise, you try to figure out which one comes first. Eventually, you put down idea number 1 and proceed to 1A, B, C, and so on. However, about the time you get to 3B, you realize it should be 2A. So you draw a big arrow and cross out the original 2A. You keep on doing this sort of thing, and suddenly you realize your outline is getting messy and very confusing. And we all know that outlines are supposed to be neat. So you sigh with frustration, tear it up, and start over. At the same time, your right brain hemisphere gets tired of being put on hold while you try so hard to be perfectly logical. It stages a mental mutiny, and next thing you know, you find yourself doodling in the margins or daydreaming about that nice day outside. You may even get really creative and begin thinking of reasons why you don't need to do this work at all. Outlining and other linear noting methods are a reflection of a static, hierarchical mindset. But your brain is designed to operate best in a dynamic, nonlinear way. Think, for example, about the last book you read or the last movie you saw. Imagine that you're going to give a talk on it 10 minutes from now. Watch the process of your mind at work as you begin recalling. Do you get an outline? It's highly unlikely. Most people report a flow of associations, images, keywords, impressions, and emotional reactions that gradually form themselves into a meaningful pattern. Although it's valuable as a tool for presenting ideas in a formal, orderly fashion, outlining is useful only after the real thinking is already done. If you try to generate your ideas in outline form, you'll find it stifles your creativity and slows you down to a snail's pace. The right hemisphere of your brain thrives on color, dimension, synthesis, rhythm, and images. By imposing one color and one form, outlining effectively excludes half your brain from the thinking process. And half a mind is a terrible thing to waste. If outlining, with its slavish adherence to hierarchical thinking, is an outdated skill for today's world, what should take its place? Mind mapping. Mind mapping is to the information explosion and the age of global awareness as outlining was to the Industrial Revolution and the heyday of bureaucracy. Mind mapping frees you from the tyranny of premature organization. And as Roger Von Eck writes, premature organization prevents conception. Mind mapping liberates your whole brain by balancing generation and organization while encouraging the full range of mental expression. Mind mapping works because it's based on an understanding of how your brain functions most effectively. It catalyzes and enhances your natural thinking patterns. Let's take a minute to explore these patterns. I'd like you to complete a simple exercise in word association, which will help you to experience and understand your natural thinking process in action. On a piece of paper, draw a circle with 10 lines radiating from it. In a moment, I'll give you a word to write in the center of the circle. When I give you that word, immediately jot down the first 10 words that come to mind on the 10 lines. Don't edit or judge your associations. Just write them on the lines as quickly as you can. In a word association exercise, there are no wrong answers. If you're driving a car, simply say your 10 associations aloud and then take some time later to do the exercise again in writing. Okay, the word to write in the center of the circle is set, S-E-T, set. Begin writing the first 10 associations that come to mind on the radiating lines. Stop the tape until you've completed this exercise. Now let's take a moment to consider your answers to the word association exercise. How many do you think would be the same as your spouses, your coworkers, your best friends? The answer is probably fewer than you would guess. Over the years, I've given this test to tens of thousands of people. Then, I ask them to get into groups of five and compare answers. It's rare for a group to have much in common at all. In one group, for example, Suzanne's first word was tea, because her grandmother had a tea set she remembered from childhood. Catherine's first response was shop, because she was setting up her own small retail business. Bob, a fan of racket sports, came up with tennis. Alice wrote down hair because she sets her hair every night. And Joe, a math teacher, thought algebra. The other nine words were equally diverse among the group members. In fact, not one of them had the same association with the word set. I once gave this exercise to a group of accountants using the word run instead of set. They prided themselves on their uniformity and attributed their widely varied associations with the word run to the fact that they weren't runners, they were accountants. So I asked them to do the exercise again, this time using money as the central word. They were astonished to find that they had even fewer associations in common. This simple exercise illustrates a marvelous truth about you and every other human being who walks the face of this earth. Your associations are utterly unique. Artists, scientists, salespeople, teachers, farmers, lawyers, doctors, and Cajun chefs. Each of us, as the result of our genetic inheritance and individual experience, construes the world in our own unique way. We're gifted from the moment of birth with a special ability to experience and express the magic of being alive. There's no one else like you. There's no one else who can think or create as you do. This diversity is not an accident. It's a critically important part of the evolutionary process designed to ensure our survival as a species. Given any type of adverse circumstance that may befall humanity, there's almost certainly someone who has the unique ability to overcome the challenge and carry on. As well as being unique, our associations are also potentially unlimited. Your mind is capable of linking any word with any other word. Just try to find a word you can't link with the word set. In my classes, people often proudly offer a word they believe to be absolutely unrelatable. But, without fail, a classmate offers their own unique linkage. In a recent seminar, one erudite fellow triumphantly challenged the class to link the word anti-disestablishmentarianism to set. An equally confident classmate shot back, anti-disestablishmentarianism, one of the set of words that are utterly ridiculous. Then, another classmate pointed out that anti-disestablishmentarianism actually contains the letters that make up the word set two times over. And of course, as a last resort, you can automatically connect any word with set because it's a member of that class of things you don't normally associate with set. Our unlimited power of association and our unique individuality suggest that each of us has a vast potential for creative thought. We've seen how outlining squelches that potential by cauterizing the freedom of association with premature organization, boxing us into a narrow, inflexible, and colorless format. How can we take advantage of the mind's capacity for unique and unlimited association while balancing the generation and organization of our thoughts? Is there a technique that enables us to access our full creative potential by working with and not against our brain's natural design? These are the questions that my good friend and colleague Tony Buzan was asking himself when he originated mind mapping. A British author, brain researcher, and Renaissance man, Buzan has devoted his life to developing and teaching brain-centered strategies for the fulfillment of human potential. I've been collaborating with Buzan since 1975, refining the extraordinary thinking tool of mind mapping and developing new strategies for teaching it. So with this as background, what is mind mapping and how does it work? A mind map begins with a symbol or picture that represents the topic you're mapping, drawn in the center of a piece of paper. This picture serves as the home base for your creative associations with that topic. As each association arises, you record it in a keyword, connecting it to your central image with a radiating line. Colors, codes, and pictures highlight important points and show relationships between different branches of your map. A finished mind map represents a marriage of logic and imagination. It's colorful, strongly imaginative, and magnificently expressive of individuality. Linking keywords and images, the map captures a tremendous amount of information on one page, making it easier to see the whole picture and to think in a more systems-oriented fashion. It also becomes possible to review, adapt, or memorize your notes in seconds. If you study the notebooks of great geniuses like Leonardo da Vinci, Mark Twain, and Charles Darwin, you'll see that they used branching, nonlinear styles with lots of creative doodles, sketches, and keywords. The power of mind mapping is that it formalizes and integrates what a great mind naturally wants to do. As you master mind mapping techniques, you'll be joining the ranks of those geniuses who understand how to tap their unlimited creative powers. My goal in this program is not just to teach you a new way to make notes. I'm going to introduce you to mind mapping as a whole new approach to thinking and solving problems. My intention is that you'll be using mind mapping as an integral part of your life, and you'll continue to use it for years to come. To gain the insight that leads to this level of long-term application, it helps to have an in-depth understanding of how mind mapping was developed. So let's look further into the roots of Buzan's discovery. In the late 1960s, Tony Buzan began researching methods for improving learning, memory, and creative thinking. He conducted an in-depth study of the habits of effective note-takers. Drawing on the research of Professor Michael Howe, Buzan concluded that the best note-takers shared two distinctive characteristics. They used keywords and printed their notes. Now, why do these techniques make such a difference? Buzan found that keywords are the nuggets of creative association and recall. They're rich in information, so if you think of a keyword, it triggers other important associations. If you were, for example, studying the heritage of the American political system, a keyword might be democracy. Chances are this would trigger many other associations, such as freedom, revolution, independence, Jefferson, and so on. Examples of non-keywords include and the. Having mastered language, our minds automatically grammatize our thoughts, so it's a waste of time and energy to record all those twos, ands, or thes. The second technique that sets effective note-takers apart from the crowd is that they keep their notes neat and easy to read. Research reveals that many people scrawl their notes in such a hasty fashion that they can't read them later on. The best note-takers print each word to ensure readability. An added benefit is that printing seems to better imprint the word in your memory, so it greatly enhances recall. Once Buzan had identified printed keywords as the hallmark of effective note-takers, he sought further improvements. Since people usually take notes on subjects they consider important and worth remembering, Buzan focused on improving the memorability of printed keyword notes. Knowing that emphasis and association are the two key elements of recall, Buzan brainstormed on how to bring more of these two elements to printed keyword notes. He identified a number of highly effective techniques. First, he graphically showed linkages between keywords by connecting them with lines and arrows. He also introduced codes and colors to show relationships. Next, he developed methods for showing the emphasis or relative importance of words. He found that the relative importance of keywords could be indicated by the size and boldness of letters, by the use of upper and lower case letters, and by drawing symbols and pictures. Ultimately, it became clear that anything that creates association can be used to create emphasis and vice versa. Can you use symbols for association? Certainly. Can you use colors for emphasis? Of course. As Buzan started putting these elements together, he began to realize that he was creating much more than a new way to take notes. He realized that he had discovered a method for awakening genius. Why is it that mind mapping strikes such a responsive chord with people everywhere? Why does it work so well for people from every culture, country, age group, and walk of life? Mind mapping works because it's an expression of your brain's natural functioning, a catalyst for your natural thinking process. As you discovered in the speech preparation test, your mind doesn't work naturally in outline and paragraph form. It works best when you integrate the input from both your logical, analytical left brain and your imaginative, colorful right brain. Mind mapping rescues your right brain output, previously relegated to the realm of doodling and daydreaming, and makes it a contributing partner in your thinking and problem-solving activities. Mind mapping feels so right for another reason, too. It reflects an understanding of natural systems and networks. Contemplate a tree, and you'll note that it's a network of life expanding in all directions from a trunk. Consider a great river as it rushes to the ocean, and you'll see it's born from a network of innumerable smaller tributaries. Look to the skies, and you'll discover that our solar system is a dynamic network revolving around the sun. And perhaps the most amazing of these natural systems is the brain itself. Your brain is an extraordinarily complex network composed of billions of neurons or brain cells. Each neuron has many tentacle-like arms called dendrites that branch out from its central nucleus. Each of these dendrites is covered with hundreds of tiny mushroom-shaped chemical sacs called dendritic spines. As you think, electrochemical information jumps across the tiny gaps between branches at junctions called synapses. Your thinking is a function of a vast branching network of synaptic patterns. A mind map is a graphic reflection of these natural patterns of the brain. Mind mapping sets you free to do what you've always been capable of doing. It allows you to express the genius that you are. I briefly introduced you to some of the key elements of mind mapping. Let's take a moment to review them in more depth. Element number one. You'll begin your mind map with a symbol or picture at the center of your page. This drawing will serve as the home base for your creative associations. Why do you start with a picture or symbol instead of just writing out your title in words? Because pictures jumpstart the dimensional and imaginative part of your mind. They enhance your ability to think creatively about your topic. Pictures are also much easier to remember than words. If you write out a title and then draw a multicolored image of it, which do you think you'll be better able to recall next week? Research into the psychology of memory conducted by Haber, Nickerson, Standing, and many others proves overwhelmingly that images are much easier to remember. But what if you think you can't draw? Don't worry. Just do the best you can. You'll still get the brain benefits without being a Michelangelo or Georgia O'Keeffe. Element number two. use keywords. Keywords are information rich. They're the triggers for recall and creative association. Keywords can be generated faster than the sentences or phrases used in outlines without sacrificing meaning. Keywords are also much easier to remember than sentences or phrases. Element number 3. Connect your keywords with lines radiating from your central image. By linking words with lines, you'll show clearly how one keyword relates to another. Connecting the lines gives maximum clarity. Element number 4. Print your keywords. Printing is easier to read and remember than writing. Element number 5. Print one keyword per line. By doing this, you free yourself to discover the maximum number of creative associations for each keyword. The discipline of one word per line also trains you to hone in on the most appropriate keyword, thereby enhancing the precision of your thought and minimizing clutter. This combination of focused and flexible thinking strengthens your synvergent powers. Element number 6. Print your keywords on the lines and make the length of the word and the line the same. This further maximizes clarity of association and encourages economy of space. And you'll need plenty of space because you'll be getting more ideas faster than ever before. Avoid letting your keywords float off the lines. This graphic disconnection short-circuits your flow of associations. And element number 7. Use colors, pictures, dimensions, and codes for greater association and emphasis. These can be used to highlight important points and to show relationships between different branches of your map. You might, for example, prioritize your main points through color coding, highlighting in yellow your most important points, using blue for your secondary points, and so on. Pictures and images should be used wherever possible because they stimulate your creative association and greatly enhance your memory. Codes, such as asterisks, exclamation points, letters and numbers can be used to show relationships between ideas. They're also effective tools for further organizing your map. These are the basic elements of mind mapping. Tony Buzan and I have refined and tested them with tens of thousands of students. They're the ingredients that will allow you to make maps that express your highest synvergent thinking powers. Author Thomas Mann wrote, "We are all infant prodigies." I believe he was right. You are one of a kind. Your birthright is greatness. And on the next side of this tape, you're going to learn how to begin using your brain to access that greatness and awaken the prodigy inside you.